There's four verses, four scriptures that I'd like to share with us. And let's just fall straight into Hebrews 12, verse 1. It's out of the New International Version. And we read this scripture last week. We looked at this scripture as well in particular. But there's another part that I want to highlight today. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the writer here speaking of the great men of faith that have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Other translations read endurance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Okay, and we've mentioned a few things in this area, as I said, in the last few weeks. This morning, there's something specific that I want to bring across. Again, perseverance, endurance, the writer talking about this race that each of us have before us, whether you like it or not. Okay, and it's not the human race in that sense of the word that I'm talking about, although we're all part of that as well. But this is the race of faith. This is the battle for your soul. And whether you like it or not, you're part of it. But there's a race. And we're talking about a race that you have to persevere in or endure in. It's a long race. It is a hard race. It is something that's going to demand courage and strength. And believe it or not, this is an English word, stick-to-itiveness. Okay, there's going to be times that you want to pull out of this race, that you want to throw in the towel, that you want to give up. And this morning, I empathize with you that we've all gone through those feelings in various aspects of our lives, but we cannot. For the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, we cannot give up. There's a testimony at stake. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of His name is at stake. He reveals Himself first and foremost through us in this world. Are we a people that give up when the going gets tough? How do they say? Then the tough get going. I've had the privilege of doing a number of endurance events in my life, and hands down, the toughest was the Ironman. It was about 3.5 years ago. Fortunately, I was in good shape then, but I suffered almost 15 hours from when I started, when I got into the water, to when I crossed the line. Charlene crossed with me. She was pregnant. She was about this pregnant with Christian at the time. So Charlene and Christian have both crossed the finish line of the Ironman. And I think big things are still to come. But that was a tough day. And absolutely nothing the thoughts kept coming. It's like, what do you think you're doing? Why are you doing this? Why don't you just give up? No one will even notice if you just, you know, because you come past, the worst is you come past the start and finish about 7 times during the day. And you could just slip in there and say, no, you know, just tell your wife, okay, let's get in the car, let's just go. This is a stupid idea. There's opportunity. There will always be opportunity to give up. The enemy will make it easy for you. He will tempt you to give up, because that will put a blemish on the name of Jesus Christ. And that would be first prize for him. And I was, before the halfway mark of the race of the three disciplines, I was cramping it felt like every muscle in my body was cramping, seizing up. I was like, there were mommies with babies in their prams passing me while I was trying to run. Okay. I was looking like a croc like never before. And all that kept me going was just focusing on the Lord and trying to figure out why I'm doing this again. But let me tell you that I learned and grew spiritually on that day. never mind just, you know, having the certificate and all of that. Okay, that's great. I don't even know where that certificate is. But what I carry with me every day is what the Lord did in my life that day, what He did in my heart. And so I can recommend to you as well. It's something that everyone in business knows as well. It looks good on your CV if you've got some sporting things written down there. Speaks of a balanced life, but you know, having things like endurance events or whatever on your CV, it communicates something to your prospective employers that this is a guy that can stick to it. He's a guy that will finish what he started. And that is a good quality. That's a godly trait. And you'll see it emphasized in a few verses just now as well. But I want to encourage you this morning. I know life isn't easy for any one of us. I know every one of us have challenges that we're going through. Don't think the person next to you this morning isn't facing a challenge. Life is not easy for anyone, and God never said it would be easy. In fact, there was one time when we had things easy and had things going our way. There was only two people that enjoyed that life for a little while until they disobeyed God. Before the time, and they knew the most dire consequences would come from that. God said, "You will surely die." And that is what we had. They could have lived forever with God in the garden. God wanted friends. God wanted company. He doesn't need it to survive, but that's what He wanted. And they turned their back on Him and did what He asked them not to do. And since then, He said, "Yeah, well, we will toil, and there's going to be thorns, and there's going to be snakes, and all sorts of things in the world that's going to want to hurt us." And women, and there's many women in this congregation that know that now giving birth isn't something that's pain-free. Okay, so we all have it tough, at least at times in our life. God never said it was easy, but life is tough, but God is good. Okay. We were unfaithful. God remained faithful. He stuck to His word. And then He made a plan. Not breaking His word, not going against His word, but taking our ultimate and the worst of our punishment upon Himself so that we can have a second chance. So where He said we will surely die, He was talking about hell, eternal separation with Him. That is the worst thing about hell. It's a place of eternal death, whereas heaven would be eternal life. And that is what each of us deserve, and that is what our fate would have been had God not sent Jesus, His Son, to pay that penalty for us. So He sent His Son, who was without sin, who never disobeyed, and who endured until the end, until His mission was complete, and that cost Him His life, and He knew that. And He died the most horrible death, and then He went to hell. And He experienced that, and then He rose from the dead after 3 days, having taken the keys of the kingdom back from the enemy. And it is available now to each one of us once more, a second chance to real life, to true life, only through Jesus Christ. So life will still be hard, but as a believer, we don't need to face that ultimate punishment, ultimate death. We don't need that anymore because Jesus paid the price for us. Jesus endured for us. Let's look at the next scripture in the very next verse. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. How do you make it through this tough life, through your challenge? There's one way: keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus. He's the one, He's the only one who can ultimately help you through it, who can help you to come through this challenge and still be victorious and inherit eternal life. No one else can do that for you. Only Jesus can save us from our sin, because He went to the cross as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was perfect without sin. If Jesus had sinned, He would have had to die for Himself. He had no sin, so He was worthy as the sacrifice for all of us, fulfilling the law completely. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He didn't come and say God has changed His mind. He came to fulfill God's law on our behalf. Until Jesus came, God had instituted temporary measures where the high priest would have to make sacrifice and atonement by sacrificing a lamb, by shedding its blood for the sins of the nation. And that lamb had to be perfect without a spot. He wouldn't look, when it came to personal sacrifices, the priest wouldn't look at the person bringing the sacrifice. He would just inspect the sacrifice. Was the sacrifice perfect? It is assumed you're a sinner. If the sacrifice is sufficient, your sins will be forgiven. And that is what Jesus did for us. Him as our sacrifice, He was sufficient. He was perfect in every way. And His blood is enough to save us from our sin. Jesus didn't have it easy. He's not a dispassionate God. He's not a distant God. He's not a God that cannot empathize with us. He went further than any of us will ever go. Having a people that He came to serve and love crucify Him on the cross. And even through His death, He did it for us and for them. He died for the people that killed Him. And He hung there saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is a bigger man than me. That is God. He did that for all of us. He went further than any of us will ever go in our life. He knows what it's like to take tough decisions and to go through sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Father, is there another way? Nevertheless, Your will be done. He went through with it. Let's see that scripture again. Sorry, in verse 2. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. I want to tell you this morning that on the other side of your challenge, there's joy waiting. If you persevere, if you endure, if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Scorning its shame, and now He is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not a baby in a manger. He's not a carcass on a cross. He's not a corpse in a tomb. He's the risen God sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that speaks of, that sitting down speaks of, the work is finished. What Jesus came to do is complete. It is sufficient. It is enough. It is finished. In that culture, you don't talk like that unless the job is done. You don't sit down. That is a picture of a man whose job is completed. Why do we want to throw in the towel? Why do we want to sit down when the job is not yet complete? I want to encourage you this morning to persevere and to endure, to keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll help you get through it. He'll take you by the hand. He'll carry you through it. Nico and Simone can take heart because God showed Himself faithful with Zoe. They know He's a God that will not leave them or forsake them. He's the faithful one. Something that I quietly trust God for, it's not like it's in my prayers very often or anything, but is that I can live a full life and then I can go to be with Him without experiencing a terrible amount of pain. This is possible. Doesn't mean that if you do experience a lot of pain or sickness before you die that you're a terrible sinner or anything like that. But we see even in the Word of God, men of God that had their fullness of their days and they just went to God without God just taking them, without any kind of suffering. And then there's ultimate examples like Elijah that went up to heaven on a chariot, that would be great. But you see, the fact that we are still here means our job that God has given us is not finished yet. We cannot sit down yet. Retirement isn't a biblical concept. Now we understand we cannot keep working in a certain vocation. You know, we need to give other people a chance that need jobs. But we don't retire. You find something, you continue in what God asks you to do. Just because you don't work anymore after 65 doesn't mean you're retired. You might be a little bit tired, but you're not retired, okay? Or get retreaded and retired, and then God has something for us to do as long as we are still breathing. There's no sitting down. I want to encourage you to complete your work. And once your purpose in this life that God has ordained for you has been completed, then you're ready to go, and then He will take you. I'm looking forward to being taken by God. I just hope it's not a very painful process. As I said, it's not something I give that much thought to. No sitting down. James 1, verse 2 to 4. There's that word again in verse 4, but let's read it from the top. Consider it pure joy. He's not talking about the fruit juice. Okay? He's saying genuine, rejoice. Be happy, my brothers and sisters. Not just brothers. Ladies, there's tough times for you as well. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You need to keep the faith. You need to stay focused on Jesus to make it through this challenge. And that in itself produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm talking about a mindset to finish what we've started, a mindset to complete the work that God has given us to do, a mindset to build His kingdom, a mindset to be discipled and to make disciples, a mindset, perseverance. Now, no one's perfect. There's a lot I admire about my father, and something that he taught me when I was young was to finish what I started. And let me tell you, there's often times when one wants to give up on something that you've started. But those words echo in my mind what my dad said. You know, 50% is not good enough. You got to finish what you started. You know, and it's a truth that was conveyed to me when I was doing something as simple as raking up the leaves in the garden. We had two massive plane trees, and it's like 30 bags of leaves that you end up raking up before the winter. Terrible. It was my job. And half of those leaves end up in the swimming pool, and that makes it even worse. Anyway. But it's not good enough raking up 10 bags and say, Dad, you know, are you satisfied? That's a lot of work, right? No, there's still leaves there. Finish what you started. 50% is not good enough. Now I want to encourage you to have that in your mind, to finish what you saw. That produces character in the end. That will stand you in good stead. Whatever the challenge, if you think this is something insignificant and no one will even bat an eyelid, if I give up here, if I throw in the towel, maybe no one will even know. God knows. He's with you. I take pride in doing my best to finish something that I started and to finish strong. We're talking about endurance. We're talking about perseverance. I want to say, pace yourself. It matters more how you finish and that you finish strong than how you started. Think of marriage as an example. And marriage isn't without challenges. It's a classic relationship that lesson that we have to work at it. Anything that you love is worth making sacrifices for, worth working for. And I hope that our marriages, that our last day of our marriages will be better than our first day of our marriages. Let us finish strong in everything we do. Endure. It's long. It's tough. It's going to take some. There's going to be some battles. The enemy's going to want to make you give up. He's going to want to sell you the lie that it doesn't matter if you give up. It does matter. It matters to God. And the final scripture. Jesus, who is our ultimate example of enduring and completing the work that God has given him, teaching his disciples in parables, he says in Luke 14:28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish, everyone who sees it would ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Jesus telling his disciples about counting the cost of following him. The times are of such a nature, in this day and age, we cannot be lukewarm with the Lord and cruise through. Not going to work. I don't think it's ever worked. But maybe now, more than ever, it's not going to work. We need to consider very carefully my relationship with God. What is this all about? Why am I in this? And if I say yes to Jesus, what does that mean for me? What are the consequences? Doesn't mean life becomes easier. In fact, the Bible promises us hardships. Maybe in this country in general, we don't experience it as much yet being a Christian. In other parts of the world, it will cost you your life to say yes to Jesus. And we've just sent another team to Pakistan last week, and they had 1,000 pastors come together doing training with them. And the pastors that we have good relationship with, they receive death threats on a regular basis. And there's going to be a time when your decision to follow Jesus is going to be put to the test. It has to be put to the test. You need it to be put to the test to know where you stand. You see, Jesus is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. There's no middle ground. There's no, thank you, I needed you yesterday, but I don't need you today. Do you think the God of the universe is going to say that kind of attitude or behavior is all right? No. I want to challenge you this morning. What's going on in your heart? Have you purposed to follow Jesus Christ, that he's your number one in your life? That you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness before you seek the other things that he says he'll add to you anyway? What is more important to you? I want to challenge you to take a choice, to make a decision, and then to purpose in your heart to see it through until the end, no matter how tough it gets. And you know what? Any of us don't truly know what we're going to do in that situation. This is why we will get tested, and we need to get tested at times. And we've all been through some challenges, and we could have all been somewhere else this morning. But most of us have walked a long road together, and we're still here this morning. We're still saying yes to Jesus, and I want to commend you for that. But I want to also say it's going to get tougher, and I want to encourage you, stick to it. Stay with it. In truth, there's nothing else in this life that matters except, is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Have you purposed to follow him all your days, no matter what? Do you run to him in the good times and the bad times? If you're doing well or if you're sinning, are you running to him? He must be our first port of call. Whether it's to rejoice with him for a victory that is brought in our lives, or to go and repent and say, God, forgive me. I've fallen again. Help me. Help me to get up. Help me to do better. Let's stand this morning. I bet the residents behind this this hotel block on the beachfront aren't too happy that their view has been spoiled and there's no one even living in front of them in that massive building, that it is only halfway completed. Now Jesus, he's very serious when he says we need to count the cost. We need to make sure we can finish what we start, because he'll hold us accountable to it. The judgment is far greater on those who know the truth and have turned their backs at some point, who have heard but have not heeded, than those that have never heard. God is a righteous judge. He's not going to go hard on someone and soft on someone else. We all play by the same rules here. I want to encourage you. It's time that we take seriously our relationship with the Lord, what Jesus did for us at the cross, and the call of God on our lives. Let us not keep Jesus in a box, in a compartment. Church isn't an activity that we do in the week. We come together to encourage each other to do church out there 24/7. This is a celebration. There's a little bit of food for the road. Let us help each other. Let's not neglect coming together. Let's come together as small groups at church. Let's encourage each other. Let's find out how it's going. What are we struggling with? Can we help each other? You're not alone in this race. We're running together. We're not competing against each other. We're running together. We all want to finish. I want you to finish just as much as I want myself to finish. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks this morning that you haven't saved us and then just abandoned us, Lord God, to do it by ourselves, Lord God. You are faithful until the very end, Lord. Thank you that you help us along the way, that you grant us the will and the desire to do your good pleasure. Thank you, Lord, that despite the high mountains that we have to climb so often, Lord, as you say in your word, you give us the strength to be able to do that. I pray, Lord, for those who feel weak here this morning, that you will show yourself strong through them, Lord. I pray, Lord, for a mind shift, a paradigm shift, Lord, that we will purpose this morning in our hearts to finish what you have asked of us. And to run this race, to do life with faith in you at all times. To keep our eyes fixed upon you, Lord. Fixed. Not wandering, not getting distracted. Fixed upon you, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We all need help this morning, Lord. None of us can stand here and say, we can do this by ourselves. We can stay faithful to the end by ourselves. We are perfect. Don't worry, God. We'll finish it in our own strength. None of us can say that, Lord. Help us. I just want to give you an opportunity this morning to do business with God yourself. If what I'm saying is resonating in your heart, if you know this is something that you need God to help settle in your heart and you need his help every step, then just raise your hand and say, God, that is me. I need help to finish this race. I need to endure. I want to finish. Okay, and if I'm truthful and you don't realize it, that is all of you. You cannot do life and get the pat on the back at the end of it, well done, good and faithful servant, without God's help. Okay, so it's fine if you didn't raise your hand. Okay, I accept that you don't realize that maybe as yet, but I want you to pray now to the Lord. And you say, Lord, here I am. And whatever the Lord is ministering to you, whatever is going on in your heart right now, bring it before the Lord and ask the Lord. Just ask Him for help this morning. He's faithful. He's laid this on my heart to share with us this morning. And I know it's in season for us. So just you do business. God will not disappoint. He will meet you at that place of need. But I pray that your heart will be set on finishing this race. And finishing strong. Thanks. You can take a minute and just bring that before the Lord. Thanks.